I'm in the swimming pool with water up to my neck. It feels like someone's stepping on my chest, and I have a hard time breathing under the water. And for some strange reason, he's like, that sounds like Pompeii disease.
The Chronic Truth Podcast is for informational and educational purposes only. The views expressed by our guests are their personal opinions and do not constitute medical advice. While we share experiences and strategies related to health, neither the host nor the guest are acting as licensed medical professionals unless explicitly stated. Always consult your physician or qualified healthcare provider before making any changes to your treatment plan. Listeners assume all risks associated with implementing any information discussed on this show.
And welcome to the Chronic Truth Podcast. I'm Kimberly Nash. I am pleased to welcome back to today's show, Dwayne Wilson, a passionate Pompeii disease advocate who has turned awareness into action. Known by many as a Southern Cal's Pompeii champ, Dwayne is on a mission to make sure more people know about Pompeii disease through custom shirts, videos, and showing up everywhere he can to educate and inspire. His advocacy proves that one person's voice can create real impact and bring visibility to a rare disease community that deserves to be seen and heard. Welcome back, Dwayne.
Hello, welcome. Nice to be back. Thank you, Kim.
This is wonderful. For our listeners, Dwayne was probably one of my very first recordings back when I was starting, and so it was before we did video. And I just, his story is so resilient, and I wanted him back on. He is a huge advocate for Pompeii. Dwayne, share a little bit about your journey and what Pompeii disease is.
Well, you know, Pompeii disease is a rare genetic inherited muscle weakness disease. You have two gene mutations that you get from each parent that causes your body to slowly stop producing what's called the GAA enzyme in your body. The GAA enzyme helps to break down glycogen that builds up in your muscle cells. And it can be your muscle cells throughout the entire body, in your legs, your back, your diaphragm, even your mouth and throat and everywhere else. It affects your smooth muscles. And it happens over a course of years, decades. There are over 640 different gene mutations that can cause Pompeii disease. There's classified as late onset, or, you know, adult onset when it happens more later in life. And then there's also infantile onset, which is a little more serious. Usually babies can be born with an enlarged heart, and it can be fatal within the first year of life if treatment's not started. But, you know, my doctor told me I had Pompeii disease, and like with anything else, what's that? You know, never heard of it. And so you Google it, and you start Googling things, and there's a lot of misinformation out there.
Yes,
and,
I agree.
You know, you have to join communities and learn from other patients that have the disease, and to educate yourself about it. I wasn't diagnosed until I was 50 years old.
Oh,
so
wow.
That's a journey in itself. Even though I was born with Pompeii disease and lived my entire life knowing things were off, having blood tests with high liver enzymes my entire life, my AST and my ALT liver enzymes were always high. When I was 36, I did testing for prostate cancer because my dad passed away from prostate cancer, and I had gallstones, and they removed my gallbladder. They also did a liver biopsy on me and more tests, and doctor's like, this is just the way you are. Can't find anything wrong with you. So it wasn't until I was 50 years old and I started experiencing some more serious symptoms that I get my diagnosis. But it's different for everybody. Not every patient is the same. Kids are diagnosed, you know, with when they're born, teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. So there's a wide spectrum of diagnosis, and it's different for every patient that gets diagnosed with Pompeii disease.
Wow. What was your main symptoms other than your high liver enzymes physically?
Well, I had just turned 50 in 2018. We had moved to a second-story apartment in Southern California a few years earlier, And I just started noticing that I was having problems climbing up the staircase. I was, you know, usually normally you walk one leg after the other and you go up really quick. And I was noticing I was just like really weak in my legs and I had to climb up one leg at a time. And then I was noticing I was having to grab onto the handrail and help pull myself up the staircase. And then when I got up a flight of whatever, 15, 20 steps, whatever it was at the top, I was very fatigued and tired and huffing and puffing, you know, and my wife's like, you just need to exercise. You know, it's like, you just need to exercise. I'm like, no, it's different. It's different. And then I started to notice that I couldn't get up off the floor. If I, you know, went down on the floor to adjust the cable box or something, and then like I got to stand up, and I couldn't stand up on my own power with my own legs. Wow. And, you know, I'm a bigger guy, but my legs have usually been the strongest point in my body to stand up. And I'd crawl over to the couch and crawl to the couch and then push my arms up on the couch.
Use your arms to get up.
To get myself up. And then I just noticed in a seated position, sitting in a chair, sitting on the couch, or even sitting on the toilet, I couldn't get up off the toilet on my own. I had to push off with my arms to get up. And like, that's just not normal. My legs were just so weak, I couldn't stand up on my own. And I was fatigued and tired a lot more. And I noticed when I lay down at night to go to sleep, I had a hard time breathing and had a hard time catching my breath. You know, it just felt weird. I'm like, these are just not symptoms of turning 50 and being out of shape. I'm like, this is when I need to start going to the doctor to let them know and to see what's going on with me.
And I bet you were kind of put through the gamut of testing for various things, you know, because some of your symptoms mimic what I'm going through as far as for MS. So I'm sure you are tested for a lot of stuff.
You know, I saw my PCP, gave him all the symptoms I was having, and he's like, okay, you need to see a neurologist. You know, of course, I was thinking, you know, maybe I just had a pinched nerve in my back. But then, you know, worst case scenario, I'm thinking maybe I have ALS or something more serious. And I went to see a neurologist who did a EMG, electromagnetic muscle test, and a nerve conduction study test.
Those aren't fun.
No, it wasn't fun at all. And that test came back that my nerves were fine, but I had a myopathy or some type of muscle weakness disease. So he had asked, this was the summertime in Southern California, warm. We live in an apartment complex with a swimming pool. I like to spend a lot of time in the pool after work to relax. And the neurologist asked me, are you experiencing any new symptoms or anything different since, you know, our first appointment? And I'm like, well, actually, now that you mentioned that, when I'm in the swimming pool with water up to my neck, I says, it feels like someone's stepping on my chest, you know, and I have a hard time breathing under the water, you know, the pressure, not something you think about. And for some strange reason, he's like, that sounds like Pompe disease. I'm
wow.
Like, what?
You know, what is like, it?
What is it? That's when the Google search starts and everything. But then he had me do a genetic blood test for Pompe disease, and then also scheduled me a muscle biopsy. In the meantime, because of the symptoms, like can mimic other diseases, I did see a rheumatologist, and you know, that doctor did a whole bunch of blood work to check other things, and those tests came back all fine. You know, nothing there, no autoimmune disease or anything. So they went that route too to check to make sure I didn't have any type of autoimmune disease. And then I had the muscle biopsy and the genetic blood test for Pompe, and that came back that I had two gene mutations for Pompe. You know, who knew? And then I get referred to a neuromuscular specialist, and then I go see the neuromuscular specialist, and the neuromuscular specialist looks at the results of the muscle biopsy and the blood tests and tells me that I have late onset Pompe disease. And then he also wants to do a GAA enzyme test to see what my enzyme levels are. And then I do that test, and that was like, I have like 0.001. So barely any enzyme anymore in my body. And then that's when I officially get the diagnosis. Fortunately for me, that journey was like really short from my PCP to the neuromuscular specialist, about 7 months from when I was experiencing symptoms. A lot of patients with rare diseases, it takes 6 or 7 years to get diagnosed, and seeing multiple doctors and specialists and more tests. And some patients even get, you know, diagnosed with something else first before they get diagnosed with Pompe, because not much is known about Pompe disease. It is a rare disease.
Do you think the reason why you were so quickly to get diagnosed is you had more advanced symptoms, like the compression on your chest feeling?
I think it was because of my more serious symptoms, because when you get to the point where I was, I've experienced muscle weakness, muscle atrophy, and muscle wasting throughout my legs, the side of my legs, and everything like that. And the one thing with the disease, they say in the community that time is muscle, and the amount of time that your body deteriorates and brings on the weakness, you can't restore the muscle that you've lost already. So it's hard to get, you know, get that strength back. You can do physical therapy and exercise the muscle that you have left to strengthen the muscle that you have left in your body, but what you've lost, you can't gain back.
That was my next question. Yeah.
The GA enzyme breaks down the glycogen in the muscle cells. When you don't have that enzyme, the glycogen builds up to a toxic level, they call it, and it bursts the lysosomes or the muscle cells themselves, and that's where you have a muscle weakness. And now research is starting to say that those cells, the muscle cells that are deteriorated, are now filled with fat. So a lot of patients, you know, not only can you, you know, not move around very well or exercise, and you're losing the strength, but now you're gaining weight because now the fat is replacing the muscle. But that leads to, you know, having more tests done to see, you know, what the muscle mass is in your body. So it is a way to tell, you know, how much more you're deteriorating. The thing with Pompe disease, there's no cure for Pompe disease. There is a treatment with biweekly enzyme replacement therapy, but that just slows the progression of the disease down. So rather where it's like, if you got ALS, and they say with ALS, you know, life expectancy is maybe 5 years after that. Pompe disease could be 15, it could be 20. You know, no one really knows. And the complication from losing the muscle mainly affects the diaphragm with your weak breathing. Gotcha. So it's out there.
Wow. You've been known, or have become known, as the Southern Cal's Pompe champ. Where did that name come from?
So I got my diagnosis with Pompe disease, and, you know, I thought, well, I could just sit on the couch and do nothing and waste away. But, you know, I joined Pompe communities, and I reached out and connected with other patients and had learned what they were doing, you know, for treatment and stuff, and realized when I Googled Pompe disease, it said, okay, most patients die when they're 50. And I'm like, what? I was just diagnosed with that. I'm 50. This can't, am I going to die next month? I mean, really, Google is just, you know, people join the community, say the first thing we say is don't Google Pompe disease, you know, because it's all outdated information and stuff with research that's come out. I mean, there's now 3 different drugs for Pompe disease with clinical trials and things going on, and gene therapy trials going on, and substrate reduction therapy trials. And so, you know, the future for Pompe disease, there's so much more hope in the community for living longer and thriving and having a better, you know, improved quality of life for patients. And so I decided that, you know, I had a shift in my mindset that, you know, I wanted to, you know, improve my quality of life. And, you know, I wanted to spread the awareness about living with Pompe disease. And so I became a ambassador with the Muscular Dystrophy Association. The 2019 Los Angeles Muscle Walk That was held in San Pedro, California. Team Hope for Pompeii was the number one. We were the number one fundraisers for the Muscle Walk. And I was the number one fundraiser. And then that kind of springboarded me into doing more things. As I say, you know, if one more person knows about Pompeii disease, the world's a better place. And it's a worldwide disease. It's not just limited to California, New York, Florida. You know, we have patients in Spain, in New Zealand, and Australia, and France, Germany. There's, you know, hospitals and research centers around the world because it's, you know, it's a gene. It's a DNA. When I say Pompeii, it's in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's a DNA thing. And so Pompeii affects anybody throughout the whole world. So I say, you know, if one more person knows about Pompeii disease, it's a better world. And then I became a patient speaker with a drug company as a Pompeii champion. And there are 10 Pompeii champions, four internationally, and six here in the United States, a few caregivers and a few patients. And you can go to www.communityofus.com and see a list of the Pompeii champions with this drug company. And we spread awareness about, you know, living with Pompeii disease, what it is. I had the opportunity to be in a presentation with my neuromuscular specialist at the World Symposium down in San Diego in 2022. And that's where, you know, being a Pompeii champion started. And of course, Pompeii champion's a little bit too many letters to put on t-shirts. So I shortened it to champ, and I became the Pompeii champ. And then I live in Southern California, sunshine, palm trees, beach, everything. And SoCal's Pompeii champ was born.
And then here you are.
Here
and
I am.
I love seeing you on social media. You do the most creative work on videos and social media posts. It's incredible. What gives you the ideas to come up with these sort of things?
it's a work in progress. You know, after I became a Pompeii champion, then I became a writer. I had a column called On the Road to Pompeii with Pompeii Disease News website, and I wrote for a couple years. And then that kind of got me more involved on social media, sharing the stories that I would write about my journey, get diagnosed, things that I was doing in life, and, you know, finding my tribe, my community, and stuff. And then, you know, technologies, you know, social media, it's like, you know, on Facebook and then, you know, on Instagram, and I'm on LinkedIn. I am able to work a full-time job. It's a desk job. I wrote about freedom in a cubicle, and I work Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, 3 days in the office, 2 days at home. So, you know, I'm staying busy with that. It's like, you know, I wish I could post more stuff and be a little more creative, but it's just stuff you see out there. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, you know, advocacy people out on social media that I follow and get ideas from. And, you know, I out there and sharing links to the podcast I do. Last year I did 2 podcasts, your podcast and another one. And, you know, I'm hoping to do more stuff. But, you know, I say it, I have an invisible disability. And sometimes, you know, when people can't see what you're going through, then, you know, your message gets lost out there sometimes.
Yes. Yes. You are a fanatic sports fan. I'm going to throw that out there. One of my favorite posts that you do is you go to hockey events and you're always wearing these cool Pompeii jerseys. And that, to me, if that doesn't spread awareness, do you get a lot of people coming up to you asking about that?
First, I started with the t-shirts, say Pompeii or Pompeii champ, with the number, you know, of the year 68. That's the year I was born. I have used the number 17 because 17 is my birthday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. And I started, you know, I'm in Southern California, but I just grew up an Angels fan and an Anaheim Ducks hockey fan. And for football, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan year after year after year. But I felt it was a way to, you know, like I said, I never heard of Pompeii. Nobody's heard of Pompeii. And so if I put it on my T-shirts and spread awareness with my favorite team, and yeah, I'll be at stadiums and people ask that because they'll say they don't have a player by that name, you know, and I'll say that's the, you know, a rare disease that I have. And it does, it's an icebreaker. It brings up a lot of conversations. And, you know, I wrote a few articles for Pompeii Disease News and for Muscular Dystrophy Association on their blog, The Quest Magazine, for, you know, spreading awareness one T-shirt at a time. And then I have the shirt like Today, Not Today, Pompeii. For some Pompeii families that do fundraisers, they make the shirts like this, Not Today, Pompeii, and, you know, raise awareness and raise funds for Pompeii disease research. And so, you know, I wear the T-shirts to spread awareness wherever I go. So if I'm at a sporting event, a concert, or anything, or even going to a doctor's appointment, I wear the shirts.
Wow. Got one.
I have another tie-dye shirt. It's one of my favorite. It's from the Pompeii Strong group based out of New York for their daughter that has Pompeii. She's 7 or 8 now. And I've had 2 or 3 of the shirts. But when I travel, fly days, and I'm in the airplane, I'm in the airport, I wear this shirt that says Pompeii Strong with the tie-dye. And that's really cool. And people ask me about it. And at the sporting events, they'll ask about it. And then I got the jerseys, and I have Pompeii Champ on with the jerseys. And then I connected with a gentleman in Florida who's also a Dolphins fan, a Christian Mora. He does these custom chains. And I said, hey, can you do a custom chain that says Pompeii Champ on it with the Dolphins logo? So then he made me one. And then I asked him, hey, can you do one with the Angels? And do one with the Angels. And then how about the Ducks? And this last season, he did that really cool chain with the Ducks, with the hockey sticks and the duck mask. And this year I went to about 14 Anaheim Duck hockey games. And I actually went to my first NHL playoff game with the Ducks this season, which was really cool. And then I got to go to a second round game when they were playing the Vegas Knights. And if this doesn't, to me, this is like the coolest thing for my advocacy. Yeah, I post stuff on social media. I get 200, 300 views on things, maybe 500 views. I went to the hockey game. I posted a video of the laser show before the Ducks game, the first home game Friday night against Vegas. It's about 1.5 minutes of the cool introduction with the lasers for the Ducks. Nothing of it. I just posted it on my Instagram and Facebook. And 2 days later, this video had over 1 million views on it. And
my gosh.
A week later, I've got 3 million views. As of today, I have 4.1 million views on it. It has nothing to do with Pompeii disease. But I wrote in my comment, you know, my view from my wheelchair seats at the arena and stuff like that. But it's gained me like 500 or 600 followers. But for someone to read, you know, yeah, your page just says, my handle is Smashing Pompeii.
I also got
my next step was getting wristbands that say Smashing Pompeii, my social media handle and Pompeii awareness. And if anyone wants one, they can just message me. And I'll send them 1 or 2 or 3. I'll send you a couple too. And
I would love it. I would wear them.
the video has 4 million views on it of this laser show, and it just brings people to my page. And if they see the name Smashing Pompeii, what is Pompeii, and learn more, follow me, and then learn more, and then that's just how my advocacy is growing. And I just came back from doing a patient speaking event in May up in Northern California in San Rafael with a new biotech company that bought out the current biotech company. And I come back and I just feel like I shared my story with all the employees that were there. Virtually this company has, you know, over 1,000 employees, and was sharing my story so that teach them or learn them, however you want to say it, what Pompeii disease is and my journey and my story, and educate them as well on Pompeii disease. And then, yeah, I get home and I just feel like I just want to do more. You know, I want, I say in my social media posts, I'm turning up the volume for Pompeii disease. And it's just, being creative, you know, trying to get people to my page to read it. I put links for the podcast and, you know, links
and I thank you for that.
my links for my stories that I've written. And, you know, I'd like to get on some type of TV show to talk about it. Really, there's a couple shows out there, Behind the Mystery, that they actually done a couple episodes on Pompe disease, but the last one they did was like 2019. And I'm like, you guys need to do a refresh. So much more has happened for the community and for research and development. For Pompe disease, there's newborn screening now in 48 states. So now parents that get the diagnosis when their child's born about Pompe disease, they could monitor them. And when I say time is muscle, they can start treatment before they've lost the muscle. Yeah. So the outcome for future generations is so much more hope for a normal life.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's just amazing. And yeah, I just like to be out there and spread the awareness and, you know, be out there on TV on the show. You know, like to get on the Kelly Clarkson show or
my gosh,
Dr.
Kelly,
Dushow,
if you're listening to the show, hook a gentleman up.
yeah. I've been tagging in social media, but a lot of stuff, you tag all the stuff and, you know, you don't hear anything back. It's like, you have to know the context.
It's going to take one person.
Just right.
It's just one person, just like your advocacy work. You're reaching one person and then, you know, having that millions of hit on that. But look how many people trickled down to read more about you through that. You never know who's watching or listening. So
exactly. And that's why I keep going. You know, it's like, I'll do this as long as I can. And, you know, I tell people, you know, celebrate the wins, no matter how big or small.
Yes.
And, you know, just keep moving forward. And, you know, with my column on the road to Pompeii, I like to say things like, you know, you may have obstacles and road bumps and speed bumps, but just keep going forward, you know, keep revving your engine, you know.
And
now you got ChatGPT out there to take your photo and put it in there and ask, give me a cool photo of me in my wheelchair or something to do that. And so, you know, social media is always changing and uh-huh. stuff like that. And having fun with it and enjoying it and making new friends and connections. And that's just, you know, what I like doing.
And that's what it's about. I'm going to throw this question out at you. Do you have moments, because, you know, anyone with a serious chronic health condition, you have a moment in time where you're fatigued, you're just mentally not yourself. Do you run into that as well?
Well, lately, I don't want to say lately, but, you know, being diagnosed and, you know, I started doing physical therapy, and a lot of it, you think of rare disease and the muscle weakness, that it's a physical debilitating disease. But in reality, it's half physical and it's half mental. Mental health is, you know, is a big key. And, you know, when I say, you know, do things that make you happy. I know people, I'm Italian. I like pasta. I like pizza and cannolis and stuff like that. And I'm a big donut, you know, that's my kryptonite, is having donuts, but I have a healthy donut. I like apple fritters.
Got some fruit in it.
But my mental health, I feel like, is important. And if you're in a good state of mind, you know, Pompe disease, getting the diagnosis is not the end. It's a new beginning. Just thinking outside of the box and doing things differently. You know, they say when you get diagnosed, you start treatment, ERT treatment, biweekly infusions, every other week for the rest of your life. Yesterday I had 194, so I'm getting close to 200. There are patients in the community who've had 400 or 500 infusions. So that's a positive. I know patients are going longer because they've had 400 or 500, and I'm almost to 200. And then they say, you know, physical therapy, you know, exercise, you know, do what your body's capable of doing. Some patients are, you know, wheelchair bound in later stages and, you know, still exercise what you can exercise. And then they say it's a triangle, you know, the other corner is your diet, your nutrition and your supplementations and things like that. But, you know, I feel like there's a fourth item and that's your mental health, which makes it a box instead of a triangle. And the mental health is just as important as the treatment and your diet and supplements. You know, because of the muscle wasting, you know, it's recommended to have more protein. So, you know, I've swapped out my potato chip snacks for cheese sticks and nuts and beef jerky and things like that to increase my protein. And I have protein powder in a nice blended coffee where I like a Starbucks frappe instead of going to Starbucks, make a nice coffee, put protein powder in it, blend it in the Ninja and have a protein coffee. And I supplement with a lot of amino acids. So I saw a video out there of a nutritionist and a Pompe patient talking that, you know, a good source of protein is eggs. Eggs are made up of a lot of amino acids, and amino acids are good. You think amino acids, you think of bodybuilding and strength training and all that kind of stuff. But for a Pompe patient who's just trying to make it day by day, the amino acids help your body stay status quo or help the muscle recovery. So every day I'm having branched chain amino acids, essential amino acids. There's been some studies about amino acids, L-alanine, L-carnitine, L-glutamate and other amino acids. So I have amino acid pills that I take in the morning with my multivitamins. And in the evening after work, I make an ice slushy with orange mango amino acids and drink that. And I feel like it helps me on a day-to-day basis. And so I don't feel as tired or as fatigued doing all these things. I also was, when I was diagnosed, was given a BiPAP machine to sleep with at night. Prior to my diagnosis, I was like getting up two or three times in the middle of the night, going to the restroom a lot and not sleeping. So there were times I found myself at work on a Friday afternoon meeting at 2 o'clock, kind of dozing off and falling asleep. But once I started using the BiPAP machine, I started sleeping through the night. I go to bed at 10:30 at night and wake up at 6:30 in the morning, get my 8 hours of sleep, and stay in bed all through the night. I'm like, wow, really?
I
like this. I've been using the BiPAP machine for 7 years now. Last November, I was 7 years since being diagnosed. I turned 58 now in March, and I'm still going 8 years after, you know, diagnosis. And I feel like my quality of life from all the things that I'm doing have improved. I do yearly visits with my neuromuscular specialist and take tests, breathing tests and things like that. And I've seen improvement on some of the tests, but I have felt some weakness in other areas, my hips and my legs. My legs want to flop outward, you know, because of the weak muscle on the inside of the hip. So there are areas that have improved, but also areas that have gotten weaker. But I feel like all those four components have helped everything. You know, I don't feel the fatigue. You know, I haven't taken a nap in over 8 years. I haven't napped. I have a lot of energy. My wife says I have more energy than the Energizer Bunny, and I just keep going and going. And I just want to be active. Like I said, rather than sitting on the couch doing nothing, I'd rather be out there. And,
yes.
You know, felt like I want to travel more. And we went to Hawaii for the first time in 2022 and then went back in 2024. And now we're going back. We're going back for a third time in October, like three times in 5 years. Wow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. But we're going up to Spokane, Washington to see our three adult kids and our daughter-in-law and our three grandkids. Had a grandson. Yay. had a grandson born last November.
Congratulations.
He's seven. And I'm like, I need the energy to play with my grandkids. The two granddaughters are 3 and 5 now, and I just need to keep going. But I haven't, for me personally, I haven't felt fatigued and tired since I started doing all the things that I've been doing. I say, I fight the battle every day with Pompe disease. February 28th is Rare Disease Day. We bring awareness about rare diseases, or the last day of February. April 15th is International Pompe Day, and spread awareness about Pompe disease on April 15th. But, for me, I live with Pompe disease every day.
Every day
it's a battle. And, I take it one day at a time, but it's my job now.
And you're such an inspiration, and I love your mental outlook. It is my firm belief what we feed our mind, our body is going to react. So the disease and our conditions alone are so negative. If we focus on that, we're going to be miserable. So like you did, you went out, you found your purpose, and you're moving forward like a rock star. So that's amazing. And what a inspiration you are for so many.
Well, thank you. I think it's all about your quality of life. I came up with this other thing I call hybrid mobility. So yes, I can walk a short distance. I can walk from my apartment out to the parking lot to my van and drive to work still and walk to my office. But there's a couple steps up to the side door, and I started noticing I was having a hard time climbing up those steps too. So I got myself a hiking stick, and I use a hiking stick at times. And when we're out, walking around through the neighborhood or going to a park or someplace, I'll use the hiking stick. And then I got myself an electric wheelchair, a traveling wheelchair, so that when we go out and do longer activities, like at first it was, the amusement parks of California, Disneyland, Knott's Berry Farm, Universal Studios, but it allows me to go, the entire day doing an activity. And then, I take the wheelchair on a cruise. We went on a cruise to the Western Caribbean 2 years ago. And then this last January, we went on a Mexican Riviera cruise. And it allows me to do the activities all day long. And, I take them to the sporting events. And now I can't get a front row seat down on the glass at the hockey arena or, at the baseball field. And, your ADA accessible seats are usually further back. But I'm still at the event. I'm still there. I have the space. And I had this moment where I went to this concert. My sister got tickets to this concert. We were down a floor level, like 8 rows back. I'm sitting in these folding chairs. And this was like, 8 years ago, actually, like the year when I was going through my journey to be diagnosed. And, every time I was standing up, sitting down for each song, standing up, sitting down, standing up, sitting down, my legs were just sore and achy and burning. And that's where, I had the muscle weakness the most at the time. And it's like, I can't do this anymore. And it's like, you have a stigmatism that I don't want handicap seats. I don't want these ADA seats. But if they improve your quality of life, you're not having to get up and down every time somebody walks by to use a restroom or to go get a drink or hot dog or something. And it's more comfortable, more relaxing. You can enjoy the event better.
Yes. And be present.
And be present. I mean, that's just things, just being present. Like that, 14 hockey games this last season. I go to about 10 to 12 baseball games during the season, and just being out there and doing things. And it just, I just can't be the one to sit on the couch and do nothing. So it's like, it's all about improving your quality
of
life.
You need to paint some flames on your wheelchair.
Yeah. Well, the wheelchair, it's a Fallen Gold wheelchair, and it came in the teal color. So naturally, I wanted teal because the dolphins are orange and aqua, orange and teal, and it came in the orange teal color. And I got Miami Dolphin stickers, put them all over the side of it. And then, my mom at the time, who was still alive was using a Rollinator to walk. And so I got the wheelchair and the dolphins, I call it my Dolphinator.
Dolphinator.
So it's a Dolphinator. So I go around, I'm rolling in the Dolphinator. And then I went to the Miami Dolphins happened to come to Los Angeles, SoFi Stadium, 2 years in a row against the Chargers. And I got to attend those games. And then the third year they played the Rams at SoFi Stadium. Got to go to that game. But one of the fan events the day before had a Dolphin alumni, Sean Wooden. And he autographed the side of my wheelchair. So I got a Dolphin player sign autographed my wheelchair. Dolphins are playing the Raiders in Vegas. First game of the season in September. Already got my ticket.
I already got my tickets.
But we're going to see the Luxor Hotel and just go across the bridge to Allegiant Stadium. First time. It's the other thing. Doing things for the first time was something I wrote about in my columns a lot. Doing things for the first time when I went to Hawaii. I snorkeled in Hawaii for the first time. Jeez. And I had friends from Montana visit. We went to a indoor rock climbing place, and I climbed the part of the wall in one of the rooms. And it's just doing things for the first time, experiencing things for the first time. I say life is about having adventures and experiences, making memories with friends and families, and enjoying life to the fullest.
So much so. You are putting a face to a very rare disease, and you are a voice for so many in that Pompe community. If you are listening and you run a radio program, a TV program, this is your guy. And I highly recommend, he is a true advocate, true inspiration for any chronic health condition, just seeing that you don't let things limit you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Had such a pleasure. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
So you can follow me on Facebook, Dwayne M. Wilson, which is also under Smashing Pompeii. I'm on Instagram, Smashing Pompeii, X is Smashing Pompeii, and LinkedIn, I'm Dwayne M. Wilson, my more professional business site there, but I also post, columns and things like that. And reach out to me on any of those social media accounts. I just, if you feel like you want a wristband.
It
says Pompeii Awareness and Smashing Pompeii, and the orange or the green and the blue colors. Pompeii doesn't have a specific color for their disease, but it's a rare disease. So blue for rare diseases and the green for muscular dystrophy. Weird thing about Pompeii disease, it classifies as under the umbrella of the Muscular Dystrophy Association because it's a muscle weakness causing disease. It's also known as a glycogen storage disease, because you're missing the enzyme to break down the glycogen. It's called GSD2, glycogen storage disease type 2. So it's a metabolic disorder. It's classified as a metabolic disorder. And it's also a lysosomal disorder as well, because the muscle cells, the lysosomes burst because of that GA not being there, and the glycogen builds up. And, they research it and study it. There's more and more research talking about that. It's also a neurological, because over the course of the years, having the muscle weakness and having pain, for some patients, that it turns into a neurological issue as well. So a big bundle of ball makes Pompeii disease. But
big bundle. And it's been such a pleasure, Dwayne, having you back on the show. If you are listening to this episode and you resonate with any symptoms, anything that's touched your life in a special way, please leave us a comment. Show your support to the show by subscribing to this podcast. You're helping us build a community of support for those with chronic health conditions. And until next week, not without a fight.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh no. response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.